Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, it's good to be back.
It truly, truly is. I want to thank all of you for your prayers during my time of sickness. And it's probably the sickest I've been in many, 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 many years. But we came out of it with your prayers and the prayers of the saints and the support and your support as well. I really want to thank the staff for picking everything up and running with it, and the elders. We have a very solid church. You have good leaders, you really do. I really appreciate all of you, and I appreciate Pastor Charlie and Pastor John. I called Pastor Charlie on Christmas Eve night. I said, I'm not going to be able to make it. And he says, okay. And I said, I've made a few phone calls, but I can't find anybody, so you're it. So you've got the whole thing. So, but he did a wonderful job. He really did a wonderful job. And I told him, I said, and to help you a little bit, I'll send you my notes. But you just listen to him, you know. But and then Pastor John took over, and he's always a spot on, and even calling him at the last minute, and he's able to handle things. But I really thank you so much, and I really appreciate you praying for Brenda's mom. She's still in rehab. She's doing better than she was a week and a half ago, but she still has a ways to go. She's got to be able to recoup. She was living independently before she had the flu and fell at home, and then she fell in rehab and fractured her skull a little bit and had an internal bleed. But she's through all of that. She's just got to get her strength back and get back home. So if you'll continue to pray. Brenda, you want to say anything? So we really do thank you. And Brenda's been going back and forth. She's been more away than she has been at home. But I told her, I said, do what you need to do with your mom. I'm fine. You know, you just go take care of her. And upon coming back, Sir Charles Parker back there, I saw him. He said, one day in a row today. We pick at each other a good bit, but he said, yeah, well, we so you're back. You're starting all over again, one day in a row. Then I had two other people to tell me, said, we have a visitor's card. Have you filled that out? Yeah, you know, you know. So I'm getting ribbed a little bit, but I do that sometimes with some of you guys, you know. But it's awesome to be here. It's awesome to be in the midst of a people who love God, who love people, and who make a difference. And that's who you guys are. I'm going to want to speak to you a little bit about 2023. I'm not going to give you anything about forecasting the year or anything of that nature, even though I feel like I have a few things, but I won't share those today. But I want to ask you a question. How do you see 2023? How do you see it? What does it look like to you? It's important that we are able to see in 2023. We've got to be able to see things as they truly are, as it really is, and our eyes really need to be open, and that we're going to share a little bit about that, because we need to know, if we can see properly, we need to know that we can function in what we see. That we will be able to impact our world with what we see. Because it's very important to see properly. I want you to go to 2 Kings. We won't be there too long, but I want you to go to 2 Kings. I want to set the stage a little bit. King Aram is at war with Israel. And his name means to deceive people with haughtiness. In other words, you build your own self up to others, but you only do that to be able to deceive them. Does that make sense? You ever run across anybody like that? They build themselves up, but they're not true. That's really not who they are. So they do that in order to be able to deceive you, if possible. So they're at war against Israel. And every time he starts to plan something, Elisha, the prophet, tells the king of Israel what he's planning. And he's really, King Aram is upset over this thing because he can't get anything accomplished against Israel in his warfare. So knowing that this is happening, but he doesn't know who's doing it, he says this in 2 Kings 6, verse 11, "Now the heart of King Aram was enraged over this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you tell me which one of us is for the king of Israel?'" Now, what he's asking, he said, there's a mole, there's somebody that's not true to who they are, and you're actually for the king of Israel and not for us, and you're telling our secrets. But it goes on, and one of his servants said this, "No, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So here, the king of King Aram is saying things, and even in the secrecy of his bedroom, saying things about strategies, and Elisha, the prophet, is telling the king of Israel what's been said. That's pretty powerful. See, that's a revealing of God to his prophet, to his people. And in the process of that, King Aram doesn't like it. He's enraged about it. Then he says this. So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and take him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." And he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. So, and Dothan in this means it is a city of God's word. It's a city of law. It's a city of God's word. So you see that there's an attack on people that are following God's word. Amen. And there's an attack today on people. Even in 2023, there's an attack on people who are following God's word. And we need to capture this in our hearts, saying, okay, what's going on here? And it says, then that next morning, his attendant, Elisha's attendant of the man of God, the attendant of the man of God, rose up early and had gone out, went outside either to get water or whatever. And behold, he saw an army with horses and chariots that was circling the city. And his servant came to him, "Alas, my master." And this thing about, oh my goodness, master, you need to know what's going on. And he said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" They're surrounded in that city. They're surrounded. And he says, "What shall we do?" And he answered and said, "Don't be afraid. Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now, what do you think the servant is doing at that conversation with that comment? Be honest. What do you think he's doing? Okay, let me check outside again. 5,000, another 5,000, there's another 15,000, 30,000, okay. 1, 2. See, the reality of being surrounded, and you know you're surrounded, and you know you're outnumbered. But the man of God says, "I don't want you fearing in this, because I want you to know that there's more with us than there are with him." But he realizes he can't see, so the prophet does this. He prays, and he says, "Oh, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So here's the object lesson. Here's the thing we need to know. If we only see the natural, we will be motivated by fear. We will be motivated by uncertainty. We will be motivated by a lot of things that God does not want us to be connected to. If we only see the natural. If we only see the natural in 2023, we will be fearful. Are you hearing me? You know, some of us, there's so much uncertainty about the year that we're in and the year that is forthcoming. Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of uncertainty about it. But if you only see it from the natural, you won't be able to see what God is seeing. So here's the thing about it. Elisha did not tell his attendant, his servant. He did not tell him, they're coming. They're going to be here. He didn't say that. Elisha already saw what was the reality of his situation. Opening the attendant's eyes didn't make them appear. They were already there. I'm telling you, God already has your answer waiting for you. He already has his plan in the midst of your being surrounded by something you can't control. You're surrounded by things that you see in the natural, but he says, I've got this, and I've already gotten my plan for you in this situation. I don't know what your situation is today. I don't know what it's going to be like throughout the whole year of 2023. But I do know this. We need eyes to see from God's point of view. We need eyes to be able to see the natural, but yet look up to be able to see the plan of God even in the midst of being surrounded. Are y'all with me? So, This thing about having our eyes open, and he sees not just horses and chariots, but horses and chariots of fire. And this is a consuming fire. And he goes on, and you know, what happened? Well, he prays, Lord, just cause these people to be blind. And they become blind. Because they're looking for Elisha, and they want to take him out. Because they do not like God's plan being revealed through a person that's changing their plans and spoiling what the enemy wants to do. So anytime you and I hear the voice of God, hear the plan of God, hear what God has to say to us through his word and by the Spirit, when we have those things, we always have an attack that is waiting, that is visible to us. It becomes visible in the natural. But see, what I'm wanting you to do this year is to ask the Lord to open your eyes, open our eyes to be able to see in the spiritual. See this, the reality of the spiritual things that God says, look, you may feel this, you may see this, but I've got a plan. I've got something to share with you. I've got something to give you. I've got a plan that I've created just for you. And that's the way it is for us today. If we only see the natural things, we will be blinded and we will miss the supernatural. If you only see the natural, you will miss the supernatural. You won't even see that it's available, that it's already here. It's already at your disposal. Are y'all okay? Okay. See, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this in verse 12. Now you have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God. So you've not received the Spirit of this world. You've received the Holy Spirit, this Holy Spirit, the Spirit from God. And then he says this, that we might know. See, you have the Spirit of God that you might know the spiritual things. So that we might know the things freely given to us by God. See, there's so many of us that don't realize the free things that God has for us, and we're not even walking in them because we can't see them. We're not open to them. We're not aware of them already being there. You know, how many of you have ever been in a situation where you felt alone? Raise your hand real high. See how many honest people we have here. Okay, so all of us, see, but now, that's the natural. But what is the spiritual with God about being alone? I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you feel, no matter what you see happening, you're not alone. By the way, I thought about this during worship, and how many of you struggle with believing that you're a friend of God? You struggle with the concept that you're God's friend. How many of you struggle with that? Raise your hand. Anybody? A few. A few of you believe, a few of you struggle with you being a friend of God. You know, Jesus' word says, I no longer call you a servant. I call you friends. Now, we're either going to believe what God said, that we are a friend of God, and being born again, being his child, being his daughter, being his son, and our walk being committed to him, and he says, you're my friend, and he's our friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But see, we will go through a time of this, that we just feel like, I don't have any friends. Well, yeah, you do. You have God, and he's your friend. And he calls you a friend. I call you. See, this is God speaking to you. Those of you that raise your hand, I want you to just stand up real quick. If you raise your hand, you struggle with this thing about being a friend of God. Okay, just stand up real quick. Believe God's word when he says, I call you, all of you. I call you and you. You and you. Maybe you. No, I'm messing with Lori. I know her. And you. I call you friend. I call you my friend. I want you to, you can sit down. Thank you so much for being able to do that. I want you to understand that no matter what the enemy throws at you, no matter what the circumstances look like, you hang on to the fact that God calls you friend. And he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And he'll never change his mind concerning you being a friend. So that matters. How many of you know friends are important? How many of you know true friends, the ones that's closer to you than, they are extremely important in our life. But God's word to you, Jesus' word to you is that I'm more than that. And I'm your friend. And you're mine. That he's more than a friend to us, but he is a friend. You're more than a friend to him, but you are his friend because he calls you a friend. Is that, y'all okay with that? Okay. How many of you are okay with God calling you a friend? Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm good with it. How about you? But anyway, he goes on and says, he says that you may know what the things are freely, free to us from God, which things we also speak of not in words of human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. Listen to this. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. When you and I are born again, we are created as new creations, brand new creatures, brand new life. But we can still pay attention to the natural more than we can the Spirit of God. And we'll show you that in just a moment. But see, we've got to be able to understand that this is happening in our lives. But he says, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. When we, back with the servant, it's foolishness to the attendant for Elisha to say, there's more with us than there are with them. It's foolishness to him. Why is that? We're surrounded by all these thousands and I only see two of us. So in the natural mind, you can't rationalize it. You can't think it through. You just can't do it. Why? Because it's not a natural vision. It is a spiritual vision. Being able to see what God is doing in the midst of what the enemy is doing. Because, you know, here's another thing about it. But let me finish this. They're foolish. And I want you to hang on to that word foolishness. There's foolishness to him because he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised, which means they're spiritually discerned. They're spiritually and accurately examined by the Spirit of God. Here's what I want to... let me say this. Let me move to something I just felt like I need to just go ahead and go to. What do you think God's view of 2023 is? See, here's the thing about it. We have certain things that we feel, that we see, that we think, and we do, and that are naturally known. And we can see a decline. You can see a lot of things happening. How many of you have seen gas is going up? How many of you know the word is that eggs will be a dollar each. That's the word. Everything is going up. So you can naturally see that. But how do you think God sees 2023? Does it matter? How God sees it matters a lot. Right? Is that the truth? How God sees your world, how God sees this year, you in this year, does that matter? Absolutely. I honestly believe that this passage that I'm going to share with you is how God sees this year. Here you go. You ready? Isaiah 60. Arise, shine. For your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Then he says this, for behold, I want you to take notice. Behold, darkness will cover the earth. Do you think that's happening? Then he says this, deep darkness, the peoples. See, there's a darkness that covers the earth, and there is a gross or deep darkness that covers people. That's depression. That is a sign of people being so depressed because they can't handle what's going on. Are you hearing me? So he says, in deep darkness, and he said, but, okay, you got darkness covering all the earth, and you got gross darkness covering people, the understanding. They don't understand, they can't comprehend, they don't get it. And a lot of people, so many people are depressed because they do not see a way out or a way, they do not see God's provision in the midst of what's happening. Then he says, okay, there's deep darkness over the people, but the Lord. Say, but the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, but the Lord. I want you to, whatever it is that you're going through right now, it may be sickness, it may be financial, it may be relational, it may be school, it may be neighborhood, it may, whatever that is, I want you to look at this person beside you and say, but the Lord. Whatever this thing is, but the Lord. Are you encouraged by it, but the Lord? You should be. Because in the midst of all the depression, in the midst of all the downward pushing of the world, downward pushing of society, but the Lord. And he says this, but the Lord will rise upon you. Not it gets individual, but the Lord will rise upon you. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. What does that mean? Appear. Who do you think it appears to? He says, okay, upon you, the Lord's going to rise upon you. And then he said, then what's the next part? And the what? The glory will appear upon you. Why do you think it needs, if it's already risen upon you, why do you think it needs to appear? It's appearing for what? For others to see it. Not just for you, not just for me. See, the glory is his the manifestation of his character. It will appear to people. What's the next verse? And what? Nations, the Gentiles shall come to your what?
Light.
Your light. Now, that to me, and he goes on and says, and kings, those that are in authority, those that are higher up, the decision makers. You get it? The decision makers will come to the brightness of your rising. But if we don't ever rise, we're looking from the natural and not from the spiritual. Y'all hear what I'm saying? If we don't ever arise, he said, the first word in that passage says what? Arise and shine. Arise and shine. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Why would he do that? Because darkness, and you're going to see the darkness. How many of you see darkness? How many of you see the darkness? You see it? Okay, so the darkness is here. And it's not just covering where we live. It's covering the whole earth. And I see deep darkness covering the understanding of people that don't understand. And when you don't understand things, you panic. But this is how I see God sees 2023. Yes, dark. Yes, gross darkness. But see, we can either focus on the darkness or focusing on being his light, shining bright for other people to be able to see. Unless you see, you won't be able to tell others what you see. What does that mean? If all you see is the natural is all you're going to be able to give people. But if you see beyond the natural and see the spiritual and see the concept of God and his provisions, then you'll be able to share that with other people. That brings hope to people who are hopeless. I know y'all are wondering, so he hadn't preached in 3 weeks. How long is he going to go today? His glory will appear upon you. Notice other people see it. People will begin to see the character of God. See, this doesn't come just because you're his. There is a time and a place for us to arise, for us to shine. I got something else I want to connect to this that you'll be able to. There's so much I was wanting to give to you today, but I won't be able to. But I really want to cover this and we'll close. Does it mean 5 minutes? Matthew chapter 5, I want you to go to this. Because there's a couple things I want to share because it's connected right to this thing about light. You remember what Martin Luther King said about darkness and light? Anybody remember? Nobody remembers? Darkness cannot dispel darkness. Only light can do that. Only light can do that. Matthew chapter 5 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for it is good for nothing anymore. Good for nothing. You ever heard that? Good for nothing anymore, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot of men." I want you to understand right here with this thing that Jesus is talking about salt. He also goes on, he says, "You are the light of the world." Now, whether we'll get that covered or not, don't know. But he says, "You are the salt of the earth." Everybody say, turn to somebody and say, "You're the salt of the earth." Now, generally speaking, salt is a preservative. Y'all know salt is a preservative. It can preserve meat. It can, y'all get me? It can preserve. That is not his emphasis here. It isn't. Jesus does not emphasize, you're the preserver. You're going to be preserving things. We can, but that is not his emphasis here. You see his emphasis? His emphasis is this. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, if you have lost your flavor, he's not talking about preserving. He said if you've lost your flavor, how can it be made salty again? It can't. It just has thrown away. And trampling on a man means man has such a disdain and such discredit because we say that we're this, but we're tasteless. So here's the object lesson. The object lesson in this that Jesus is saying, well, let's look at it this way. How many of you have salt shakers? Your salt shakers are on the table. Okay. Well, let's just say they're all sitting out there. Well, let's just say we put salt, pepper, hot sauce, ketchup, mustard. Scott don't want any mustard. I can tell you that right now. He don't want mustard. But anyway, but you see all of these things, and everything's gathered. Listen to this. Everything is gathered together on the table. Are you with me? Everything's on the gathered together. That's what we're doing here. Gathering together. But if you never pick up that salt shaker and sprinkle on your food. See, salt enhances what is already there. Salt enhances what is already there. You can leave it there, but it won't enhance anything. We just have a gathering, but we're not functioning. Salt has lost its taste. It's good for that thing. That's the reason I said hang on to this word a while ago. You remember that word I told you to hang on to? Foolishness. Lost flavor. In the Greek, means foolish. Foolish. In other words, what does that mean? And foolish was connected to the natural. The natural man can't conceive this because it's foolishness to him. Anytime we cannot enhance the flavor, enhance the person that we're around with our words of salt, we're not functioning the way God says we need to function. He said, and if you've lost your ability to be able to see in another person's life and be able to sprinkle salt, sprinkle the words of God from the spiritual aspect and speak them into that person, you've lost your ability to change that, to enhance what's already there. See, we all say, well, preserve, you got to pack it in, you got to do this and keep the meat from spoiling. That is not the emphasis that Jesus is making. The emphasis that Jesus is making is that anybody you're around, you should look beyond what you currently see and speak into the things that you don't see. And then if you look hard enough and ask God to show, he'll show you a little bit about these people. And your words of salt can sprinkle that person for them to be able to do what? For them to be drawn to the very aspect of what you just said. It's easy to put people down. It's easy to say bad things about them. It's just so easy. It's just natural. But when we see spiritually, you see beyond. Matter of fact, I talked to somebody the other day, and they're saying, you know, their boys was going through a real hard time for not just for a few weeks, for a few days, but for years. And the father kept saying, I know it's difficult, but we've got to continue to speak life. We've got to continue to say the things that are not to them, to their lives, so they can get out of this thing, because they got to have that from us. If they don't get it from anybody else, they've got to have that from us. And years later, both of those boys now are in church, following God, serving the Lord. Why? But that was not the path that they were on. They were salty. They had the flavor to be able to speak into the things that they see that God is doing and wants to do. Are y'all hearing me? See, but like I said, does salt preserve? Yes. Jesus has emphasized you being sprinkled. But if you've lost your ability to season what is already there, it's not any good. In other words, it will be disdained. It will be laughed at. It will be criticized. So that's the calling of God on our life. When Jesus said, you are the salt. You are the salt of the earth. And then he didn't say you as an individual. He says you, plural. You, plural. So it's whatever group that you're connected to outside of here. It can be here as well, but whatever group that's outside of here, you're salt in that group. Whatever neighborhood, whatever club, whatever meeting that you're included in, you're salt in that group to sprinkle and to speak things into their lives that they don't see, but you do. That God can do this for this person. All you got to do sometimes is look in the natural, see what they're good at and their talents, and then begin to speak what God is saying about that. But we can't just look at the natural and they're, you know, see, we've got to be able to celebrate people for who they are instead of stumbling over who they're not. Y'all, we've got to be able to celebrate people for who they are without stumbling over who they're not. That's the reason he says, when somebody treats you in an evil way, what should you do? Get back at them. No, that's a natural way. Spiritual, what does he say? Don't render evil for evil, or railing for railing, or somebody yelling at you. Don't yell back. But what? Contrary. Do the contrary. What is that? Bless them. Salt them. Salt what you see that is good. And that's what Jesus is making the whole premise about concerning the salt. Then he says this thing about light. You're the light. We want to say, okay, we're supposed to expose darkness. That is not the emphasis of what he's saying. Does light expose darkness? I mean, it does. But that's not what he's saying. He said, you are the light of the world. What's the next verse? a city. Now he's telling you what he's talking about. Lot, a city set on a hill, unhidden. You're going to be put in a strategic place of being visible. And he says, the light, you are the light, which means plural again. It's all of y'all are the light. Doesn't mean that this place is the light. No. We are the light. How we function with each other and how we love each other gives people light. A city is a community of people that belong to each other and that can function with each other. This is not God sending us out. Does he send us out? Yes. But this, what he's saying about the light is not him sending you out. Why is that? He says, you're a city set on a hill, unhidden to man. People will come to your light, and you shall be able to give them light. Are you hear me? You'll be able to give them the light of hope, the light of salvation, the light of whatever the light that they need, that they will be drawn to it. If you see a big city, when you're traveling, you see a big city and it's at night, how do you know it's big? See all the lights. Man, that's big. That's huge. And you're drawn to it. See, this is not saying, God, I'm sending you out. He is sending us out to make disciples. This is a place, he said, I've strategically placed you in places that you are to not to expose, but to give light to whatever it is that they need. It makes a huge difference to me. You know, how many of you know that if you want to look around, you can see plenty to blame. You can see plenty of things to complain about. How many of you know that that's possible? I mean, in the natural, we can do it no matter where we go. This is not right. How long are we going to have to wait? This and the food's not right. Well, this is not right. You got plenty to complain about. I mean, it's all over the place. Am I telling you? It's all over the place. It's all over the place to be able to operate in the natural. Oh, yeah. But to operate in the spiritual. There's so many times that sometimes waitresses are having a hard day. And in today's time, they have to cover a whole lot more than what they used to because people don't want to work. Tip them well. You know, tip them with money, but give them your words of salt. Give them your seasoning. Give them the words that encourages them, that you see something in them that you speak for. Y'all okay with that?
Yes.
See, that's the salt. And the light is all of us working together, and people are going to be drawn to our... Listen, he said, if you love one another. What did he say about that? Jesus. If you love one another, what will it do? The world will know what? That you are my disciples. And he says this thing about light. He said, let your light so shine. Just let your light shine. So that men will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's not exposure. That's shining a light to help, not to expose. Walk up to a person that's got an alcohol problem and say, you got an alcohol problem. Well, they already know that. Oh, you hearing me? You know, but you can speak salt and light into that person that will give them hope to be able to look at it in a totally different way that God can deliver, will deliver, and he shall deliver. And you're there to help promote that deliverance. Okay. All right. I've got 2 hours to go. No, I'm messing with you. See, that's the reason when we study the scripture, we need to really study it inside the context and don't just look at it like, okay, salt's a preserver. Yeah, it is, but that's secondary to what Jesus was saying. Doesn't take it away, but his emphasis is something else. So when you leave today, the Lord is looking for you and I to sprinkle the spiritual on other people's lives. Say the positive things. Say the things that God is saying. In the midst of this whole thing that's turning upside down, it's getting darker, and people don't know how to act. And how many of you know kindness is rapidly leaving? But not Christians. We are to be kind. We are to show kindness. Paul said this, I pray that the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your understanding would be opened, that we'll see the spiritual aspects of his glory and his power and the other things that Paul mentions. I want my eyes fully open in the midst of what I'm surrounded by. Do you? If that's you, just stand to your feet. If you really don't know him as Savior, he's not in you, and you know he's not, and you want to say, Lord, I played religion, and it hasn't worked for me, and I really want you, because I don't see a difference in my life. If that's you, I want you to meet me at the end of I want you to meet Brother Doug at the end of the service. I know I have visitors to speak to, but Brother Doug, if you'll come down here. If you really want to surrender your life to God, I want you to come down here when we close out. But before we do that, this is going to... Pastor Charlie, can you come up? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Do you know that one?
Yes, I do. Yes, sure.
Okay. This is going to be our prayer. This is going to be your prayer. This is going to be my prayer. This is how we're going to close together and singing this song. So, if you don't have taste, it's foolishness. It's just natural. If you do have taste, what's the opposite of foolishness? What is it? Wisdom. So when you're sprinkling in other people's lives, you're sprinkling wisdom. Okay. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So while we're singing, this is our closing prayer as we sing this. If you want to receive Christ, come to Brother Doug, and he'll show you the way to him. All right?
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Let it be a prayer, not just a song.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Let it be your heart.
I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you, to see you high, see you high and lifted up, shining on the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. To see you high and live. as we sing, holy, 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 as we sing.
Somebody this week, maybe today, maybe this week, whenever, and they bring to you the darkness that they see, the despair that they see, the feeling that they feel concerning this world. Here's your first response. But God.
That's right.
Tell them, but God. Say it together. But God. And then you say something that God is able to do. And you season those people with the word of God, with the spiritual aspect of who God is. And he's more powerful than any darkness that ever covered this earth. So when they come to you and they have these words of discouragement, they have these words of despair, they have these words of darkness, but God. And then you give them what God is saying to you concerning that. You may not have all the answers, but you do have the introduction, but God. Amen. There's somebody waiting just for you. They're going to share something with you, and that's your response to them. And that's the beginning of you seasoning them with his spiritual works. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad to be back. We got out before 12. God bless y'all. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.